Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ask Allie, your go-to source for some amazing life advice with a metaphysical twist. I'm Allie, the host of the longest-running spiritual podcast on Apple Podcasts. That's right. Since 2005, I've been helping people just like you navigate the mystical world of self-discovery, spiritual growth, and exploration. Today is Monday, May 6th, 2024, and I'm so excited you're tuning in to give me a listen. If you love this episode and want to learn more, please head over to outofbodyecstasy.com. There you'll find many resources and information, including how to book a reading with me. And don't forget, if you're feeling extra generous, please subscribe and give this episode a 5-star rating. Leave a review or share it with 3 friends. Together, we can create a community of like-minded spiritual individuals working toward creating a better life for ourselves and others. We are in season 19. This is episode number 14. How you guys doing? Sorry I was absent for a couple of weeks. I had the end of the spring semester for college, so I had a lot of stuff due. And then came my birthday week. So I had my birthday week last week, and I told myself this year I wasn't going to do my normal work so I get caught up on stuff. So that's exactly what I did. And I've been giving a lot of thought to out-of-body ecstasy and this podcast, Ask Allie. I've been doing both for a very long time. And with my PhD in mind-body medicine, I have two years left, one of classes and then a year of dissertation. I'm really thinking that's where I need to be putting my focus. So I haven't decided 100% yet if I'm going to close down OBE and Ask Allie podcast, or if I'm just going to show you both through the summer and then pick up after Labor Day. But I'll make that decision by the end of May, whether I'm going to shelf or just put on hold for the summer months, because you never know. You know, you never know what can happen. And since I'm a big opponent of energy, obviously, with out-of-body ecstasy, where you put your energy, where energy goes, things flow, right? And if I keep splitting my energy between the passion zone and school, which supports the passion zone, and then here, with Ask Allie and out-of-body ecstasy, it neither seems to gain any speed. Do you know what I mean? So I'm really considering it. I hope you guys back me either way. It would be nice to know that I had your support if I decided to either stop doing readings altogether. And I did this many years ago, right? For those of you who have been with me for a while, back in, God, what was it? 2011, 2012. I stopped doing things for a while, just because school was getting really intense and I wanted to focus on my master's degree. And school's getting really intense again. So anyways, I just wanted to put that out there. I didn't want to like surprise you all of a sudden and say, hey guys, I'm putting on hold out of body ecstasy and Ask Allie for the summer. Or I'm closing it down here at the end of May. And I just didn't want to surprise you at the end of May. You know what I mean? So that's out there. And of course, menopausal women, those of you with a low libido, don't forget to head over to thepassionzone.com so that I can help you. And everyone here, don't forget that tomorrow, Tuesday, the 7th, is a new moon in Taurus. Yeah, buddy. So if you have some intentions, I would write them down tomorrow on a piece of paper with red ink. I would take a quartz crystal, if you have it. And I would put all those things, the quartz crystal, on top of the paper with your intentions in the windowsill to gather the new moon's rays tomorrow night. And then I would just leave it there, if possible, until the full moon comes around in 2 weeks. Okie doke. Now, moving forward, let's go to our magical item of the week. Well, this week I want to talk about the ruby, which is a stone. The energy it has is projective. It represents the element of fire. The powers it has is to help with wealth, protection, power, joy, and anti-nightmare. The ruby is fashioned into, I can never say these things. Oh, my dyslexia. I know it's not CaboCon for jewelry. A Pacific, oh my God, Pacific shape was known as a carbuncle centuries ago. There is no stone of this name, although the books list carbuncle strangely as a separate stone. So I guess a carbuncle is a ruby. Another example of strangely convoluted history of gemstones. This beautiful stone was considered the most perfect offering to Buddha in China and Krishna in India. Dreaming of rubies indicates coming success in business or money matters. If dreamt by a gardener or farmer, the ruby denotes a good harvest. This stone is one of many that is thought to grow dark when danger or negativity approaches its owner or when illness threatens. Whether this was psychically viewed, symbolically, or an actual change in color or clarity of the stone is undetermined, but probably was a psychic phenomenon. In this sense, a ruby can be used as a tool of skewering, skyring, as can most of the transparent stones. Rubies are truly precious stones, perfect specimens of a deep blood red hue that can be outrageously expensive. Lower grade, non-gem quality rubies are available at a nominal cost and can be utilized in magic, as can substitutions. Now, I have just a side note, I don't have any rubies that are, beautiful and shiny and cut, perfectly. I have the low grade rubies that have not, even been polished or anything like that, and they work just fine. Okay. And this goes with emeralds and diamonds and sapphires. The non-polished, lower grade, non-gem stones work just as well as the higher grade, gem quality. Okay, just I had to throw that out there. In 13th century magic, rubies were well established as wealth increasing stones. They were especially effective if engraved with an image of a dragon or a snake before using. Ancient magic from India states that the possession of rubies helps their owner to accumulate other precious gems, perhaps because of the stone's wealth-inducing qualities. Worn, the ruby was thought to convey invulnerability or protection against all foes, wicked spirits, negativity, the plague, fascination, which is magical manipulation, and famine. It was also a special mascot of soldiers guarding against wounds in battle. Basically, the ruby strengthens the body's own psychic defense system when worn. The ruby in the home guards against storms and negativity, especially if first touched to the four outside corners of the house. Similarly, touching trees or the boundaries of a garden magically protects them from lightning and the effects of violent storms. Ruled by Mars, the ruby is worn during magical rituals to increase the energies available to the magician or is placed on the altar beside a red candle to lend energy to you when you're feeling depleted or drained. In a similar line of magical influence, wearing a ruby is said to increase the body's warmth. Jewelry set with rubies is worn to banish sadness and negative thought patterns. Such jewelry also produces joy, strengthens willpower and confidence, and also dispels fear. Placed beneath the pillow or worn to bed, it assures a restful sleep undisturbed by nightmares. Now, star rubies, those rare stones with a naturally occurring six-pointed star, are thought to be particularly potent and protective in other forms of magic since a spirit was thought to dwell within it. Star rubies can also be used as divinatory tools by gazing at the crossed lines of light. So that is a ruby. All right, how cool is that? And again, the non-gem rubies are just as potent and just as powerful as the gem quality rubies. Okay, so that said, let's go to the Oracle card overview of the week for May 6, 2024. I am using Denise Lynn Sacred Traveler Oracle cards. And if you need to see or would like to see a picture of the cards I'm about to draw here, please visit this episode's post at outofbodyecstasy.com. All right. Let us do this. Hey, let us see where we're going with this, shall we? Card one. And that a do cover number three. All right.
Sorry, something went wrong.
I know. So what do we have here? Okay, Tuesday and Thursday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Okay, so for Monday and Tuesday, today and tomorrow, we have surrendering to the journey, release control. I don't know about you, but I like to control things, at least in my own life. And when I can't control it, I kind of feel out of sorts. But over the years, I've learned to release control now and again. And when I do, wonderful things happen. So I need to do it more often. This card is telling all of us to surrender to the journey. Allow us to float downstream without really a care of where we're being floated to. Does that make sense? Instead of trying to swim upstream and being exhausted without getting a few feet. Okay, going with the flow, surrendering to the journey makes life a bit easier, and it gets us to where we need to go faster. Great. So that's Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday, we have faraway places. Get ready for new horizons. Now, these new horizons could be a physical new place, or it can be a place in the dimensions that we visit during astral travel or lucid dreaming. It can be a new horizon place when we connect to somebody telepathically. So, a faraway place. We all have a chance to get to on Wednesday and Thursday. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I have Voyage of the Heart. Love flows through you and to you. So it's all about love this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Giving love and receiving love. Allow yourself to receive love. So many times we just give, 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 and we don't allow ourselves to receive it back. Do yourself a favor. Allow the love to flow out. Send flow back. Okay. And this could be, your love of mankind, your love of the forest, of animals, your love of your family, just being alive, your love of gratitude, whatever it is. Allow love to flow from your heart chakra and allow love to flow back into your heart chakra. Okay. And I'd reiterate, Monday and Tuesday, we have surrendering to the journey. Release control. Wednesday and Thursday, we have faraway places. Get ready for new horizons. And Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we have Voyage of the Heart. Love flows through you and to you. Sounds wonderful. Moving forward here, we have our topic, which is protecting your empathic energy. Today's episode focuses on protecting your energy, especially for empathic individuals. If you're an empath, you may feel overwhelmed by the energy of others or the environment. I'll share some tips on shielding and managing sensitivity to external energies. Empathic individuals are highly sensitive to the emotions, energy, and vibes around them. You might often find yourself feeling drained after social interactions or being in a crowded place. This sensitivity can be a beautiful gift, allowing you to connect with others on a deeper level, but it requires careful management to maintain your balance. Before diving into the tips, let's identify a few signs that you might be an empath. You deeply feel the emotions of others around you, sometimes to the point of confusion about whether they're your feelings or someone else's. You need time alone to recharge after being in social situations. You're sensitive to the environmental factors like noise, light, or crowds. You have a strong sense of intuition or gut feelings about people and situations. If you're identifying with these traits, you're likely an empath. Now let's discuss ways to protect your energy. Grounding is the process of connecting with the Earth's energy to stabilize your own. It's a crucial step for empaths to feel centered and less overwhelmed by external energies. Here's a simple grounding technique. Find a quiet space. Sit or stand in a quiet spot where you feel comfortable and won't be disturbed. Next, you want to visualize roots. So imagine roots growing from your feet into the earth. Visualize them reaching deep into the ground, anchoring you securely. And number three, breathe deeply. Inhale, drawing in the earth's calming energy. As you exhale, release any negative or excess energy into the ground. And if you're out and about near nature, hug a tree. That is the fastest way I know to ground. Repeat this process until you feel balanced and centered. Grounding can be done daily or whenever you feel you need to reset. Now, energetic boundaries are essential for empaths. They help you interact with others without absorbing their energy. Here are some steps to create an effective energetic boundary. 1. Visualization. Imagine a protective shield or bubble surrounding you. This shield can be made of light, energy, or any substance that feels strong to you. Picture it deflecting any negative or unwanted energy. 2. Affirmations. Use affirmations to reinforce your boundaries. Simple phrases like, I'm protected, or I maintain my energy can be powerful. And 3, distance and space. Physically distance yourself from people or situations that drain you. It's okay to say no and set boundaries to protect your energy. Practice these steps regularly, especially in situations where you're likely to encounter draining energies. Even with boundaries, empaths can accumulate energy from others. Cleansing and releasing this energy is vital to avoid feelings of being weighed down. Here are some effective techniques. You can smudge. Burn sage, palo santo, or any other cleansing herb like frankincense to clear the energy around you. Move the smoke around your body, focusing on areas that feel heavy or blocked. 2, take a salt bath. Taking a bath with Epsom salt or sea salt. Salt has a cleansing property and can help draw out negative energy from your body and the energy field. 3, sound healing. Use sounds such as singing bowls, chimes, or tuning forks to cleanse your energy. You can just use a simple bell as well. The vibrations can break up stagnant energy and restore harmony. Use these cleansing techniques as needed to maintain your energetic balance. Energy conservation is about managing where you invest your energy and how much you give to others. As an empath, you might find yourself overextending or feeling obligated to help everyone. To practice this energy conversation, 1, identify energy drains. Recognizing people, activities, or situations that drain your energy, limit your exposure to them or set boundaries. 2, schedule alone time. Make time for yourself to recharge. Engage in activities that bring you joy and relaxation, whether it's reading, gardening, or simply taking a walk in nature. And don't forget to hug that tree. 3, energy vampires. Be aware of people who consistently drain your energy without giving anything back. These individuals often leave you exhausted or emotionally depleted. Set boundaries with them and don't hesitate to say no. Practicing energy conversion. Conserve helps you maintain your energetic reserves and avoid burnout. Empaths thrive with a strong support system. Having people who understand and respect your sensitivity is invaluable. Here's how to cultivate and support a network. Find like-minded individuals. Connect with other empaths or sensitive people. You can find online communities, support groups, or local gatherings where you can share experiences and coping strategies. Communicate your needs. Be open with your loved ones about your needs as an empath. Let them know when you need space or time to recharge. Clear communication helps build understanding and respect. 3, seek guidance. If you struggle with your empathic abilities, consider seeking guidance from a therapist or energy healer who understands empaths' unique challenges. Having a support system can make a world of difference in protecting your energy and navigating the empathic journey. Being an empath is a unique and powerful gift, but it requires careful attention and self-care. By grounding, creating energetic boundaries, cleansing, practicing energy conservation, that's what I was looking for, and cultivating a support system, you can protect your energy and embrace your empathic abilities. And here we are at the end. I want to thank you for joining me here at Ask Allie today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you like what you heard, please take a moment to rate and review the episode. The more people who listen equals the more people I can help have their aha moments. and speaking of helping others, remember to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok for even more tips, tricks, and inspiration. And last, but certainly not least, if no one's told you today, let me be the first to say it. You are fabulous. Take care of yourself and have a magical week. I'll catch you next time.
Feeling isolated or ridiculed for your spiritual beliefs can be deeply painful. At Mystical Minds, you'll find a welcoming community where your unique journey is understood and honored. Dive into the world of exclusive resources like intention grids, personalized weekly card pulls, and early access to powerful crystals, all while connecting with fellow seekers in our monthly online chats and webinars. Say goodbye to doubt and embrace a supportive space where being different is your strength. Click the link in the show's notes to learn more about Mystical Minds and join us to begin your mystical journey of growth and acceptance.